I want to focus our attention tonight on revival meeting. And I want to look specifically at five things that are essential for a real revival. Have you ever seen a real revival? Have you ever been a part of a real revival? Probably the older that we are, the oldest ones among us can point to more of them, obviously. But more than likely, the majority of the real revivals that are pointed to have not been recent revivals. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. You say, well, what do you mean real revivals? Well, if we just have a meeting and we come for 5, 6, 7 services, 10 services, whatever it may be, and we go back home rejoicing in what has taken place, and it doesn't do anything to move us, to change us, then how can we say it was anywhere close to being a real revival? Let's look at five essentials to real revival and see if we can do our part to see a revival meeting that'll be marked down in our memory as a real revival. The first thing that is necessary or an essential to a real revival would simply be the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit present in the services. Now, there's a lot of good preachers around. There's a lot of good communicators around. There's a lot of people that can come in and lay out the truth of God's word for us to understand with ability, with the clarity. But unless God the Holy Spirit anoints, you know, it's the Spirit or the anointing of the Holy Spirit that usually stamps itself onto a service that causes us to reflect and say, that was a good meeting. That was a good service. That was a real revival. We had a tremendous camp meeting. Why? It's usually because there was something significant about it in the way of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Essentials to real revival would simply begin and end with the power or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something that we need to take into consideration when we look at that. I may get stuck here and spend too much time, but I'm still going to give you the other four. It may be in more abbreviated form than what this one is. But there's something that we need to look at when we're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I received a text recently. I think it was just this past week. Yeah, it was. It was very recent. It was from an individual that I was talking to at IC. I was manning the pilgrim booth. We had a pilgrim booth set up, and Brother Nichols had asked me to step in and be there for certain periods of time, segments of time. And right next door to the pilgrim booth was none other than the ICHA booth. And lo and behold, if Tim Wyford wasn't on the schedule right during the same time that I was on schedule. Well, yeah, to say the least, we had a little bit of time to share and talk together. And at one point, this individual that texted me had come up and was talking to the two of us. I don't recall the details of what was taking place and what was going on, but sometime during that conversation, there were some other ladies from Wise Ball Community Church that came up to a booth across the aisleway, and I left talking with Tim and this individual, and I went over there supposedly to share some pictures of my grandbaby with them. You know, surprise, surprise. Now, I don't recall all that. I don't recall all that was going on, but the texter was telling me and asking me if I was embarrassed to be seen talking with that individual because it appeared as though I was neglecting and more willing to go speak to somebody that I see on a weekly basis than what it was that I was speaking to on a short-term basis. Now, I bring that in to say that sometimes we can neglect the voice of the Holy Spirit because we are distracted by something else. There was an offense that took place, at least a small measure of offense that took place in the heart of this individual because I rudely left off that conversation to go and talk. I don't even know who it was that I went to talk to. Maybe if it was you, maybe you recall. So what does that have to do with anything? Paul warns us in a very short passage, a very short verse as we know it, saying, quench not the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? Quench not the Spirit of God. You see, that's something that you and I do. That's not something that the Holy Spirit overrides and presses in upon us and forces us to stop doing something. That is something that you and I do of our own free will if we choose to do that. Now, it may be that we do it inadvertently, like perhaps the subject or the situation that I was referring to from IH Convention. Say, well, what is that? Well, let's just talk where we are. Let's just talk where we are. Is that okay? Well, do you mind me talking where we are? There's a lot of things that can distract us. There can be something from our life of the week past or the day before us or what's going to happen in the week before us and all the things that we have to do. Or it may even be something that is right in front of us. The crying baby. The laughing baby. The giggling baby. The person that is talking to me or the person that I'm talking to. You see, there's all sorts of things that come into play and draw our attention away. And in essence, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. We've become so accustomed to coming to church and singing three songs and having an offering on Sunday night and going to prayer and then a special song and somewhere in there there's some announcements and then the preacher gets up. We get so accustomed to all of that that we fail to realize that just simply our little actions and reactions can change the course of the moving of the Holy Spirit within our lives or within our service. If we're distracted, then chances are that we're distracting somebody else. And if we're distracting somebody else, it goes on and on and on. You know, the ripple effect. It doesn't take us very long when we're singing these songs, some of these songs that we are so accustomed to, that we can sing them without the book, we can sing them without thought, we can even sing them without heart. Have you done that? I'll admit to it. There's a lot of songs that I can come to church on Sunday or Wednesday or revival meeting, and I can sing them and sing them without heart. Why? Because I'm distracted. I'm distracted by a lot of things. And when I sit up front here, I have to ignore a lot of things. And somebody comes to me afterwards and say, did you see such and such? Did you hear such and such? Quite often I have to say no because I have to tune a lot of stuff out in order to focus. You say, then why do you want us to smile? Well, because sometimes I do catch your face. And if you're glaring at me, then, you know, wow, then I'm wondering what happened. Quench not the Spirit of God. The full presence or the power of His presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit can be quenched just simply by us being distracted or us playing or toying with something else instead of focusing on worship or hearing. Now also, we can understand that if we are not in full obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit and His leading, that that itself will be a hindrance to the Holy Spirit working fully in my life. Powerful presence and help of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that we need as an essential for real revival is a fearless and yet respectful preaching of Bible truth. A fearless and yet respectful preaching of Bible truth. I look for revival meetings to be that very thing. Don't you? Is that one of the things that you look for in revival meeting? You want the man of God to come prepared to preach with all respect and yet fearful of that eternal position that they are in, preaching to eternity-bound people. I hope that that's what your desire is. And if we're going to see a real revival, if we're going to be able to mark it down in our memory as a point in time when God came and met with us in a specific extra sense of the word of His anointing, then it's going to come. Probably it's going to be a part of it is the anointed preaching, fearless, respectful preaching of God's word. That doesn't mean the evangelist can't smile or make us smile. That takes me very quickly then to the third point. And I could get hung up here on the third point too, because I want to look a little deeper into God's word here on the third point. But if there is fearless and yet respectful preaching of God's word, then number three, I must have a receptive heart. You must have a receptive heart. We must have receptive hearts for that truth. We have a big role to play in that. We do. Jesus gives us the parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the seed, or the sower and the seed and the soil. The soil seems to be the thing that is most focused on in that passage or in that parable. Let me take the time to read it. Verse number 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You've read that parable before. You've heard that parable before. That parable has been preached here from this pulpit before. Did you see the personal call in that parable? That Jesus Himself is presenting this situation. He's not talking to us necessarily as the sower. He's not talking to us at all about being the seed. But He is talking to us about being the soil, and representative in that soil, He gives us four different aspects, and He points to us. Points to us personally. He's pointing to the crowd. He's pointing to the congregation. He is asking the congregation to look at their soil. How do I know that? Well, we can know that by going on down then, skipping a number of verses and going down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he, the person which receives seed by the wayside. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. People are beginning to plant their gardens this time of year. Some have already tilled the garden. Some have already got some things planted. It's always an exciting thing to work in the soil. As you're planting your garden, I really doubt if there's anybody here that doesn't first till the soil. I really doubt that there's anybody here that goes out there and puts off some post and some string and said, that's where the garden is, and then throws the seed out onto that hard-baked ground. I really don't think anybody here does that. If you admit to doing that, please let me know later, and I'll laugh at you too. We don't do that. Now, if you're going to throw it on the ground, then you're probably wanting to throw it on the ground back in February so that there's a little bit of frost, there's a little bit of freeze and thaw going on to bring the seed down into the soil, because otherwise it's not going to do much. I've tried to plant some soybeans for the deer. Go out there and till the soil real good and then go out and broadcast the soybeans and then run the little disc over top of it again and hoping that a little bit of that soil gets thrown up on top of it. And I've looked back after it begins to grow and I think, I put way more seed on there than what's growing. It just didn't get germinated properly. It didn't get root, and so it didn't produce. And so here Jesus is talking in the very first section of the soil, and he's saying, seed that falls on the wayside, he that receives the seed of the wayside is a person that heareth the word of the kingdom, isn't concerned about the word of the kingdom, and allows it to lay dormant on the surface because we don't open our heart to what God has for us. We don't care to listen. We don't care to understand. And the evil one comes and snatches it away, and we go on our merry way. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Here's another step. Here's someone that receives it with anticipation, with a little bit of good stuff going on within his heart. But he, not having root in himself, it dureth for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see all this? He's speaking to us. He's speaking to the individual. He's asking us, or he's telling us, that we need to take care of the soil of our soul in order for the fearless preaching, respectful preaching of truth from God's word, in order for it to find good lodging or good soil, then you and I must take care of our soil. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. There's a lot of things out there that will choke out the word. Tampering with disobedience, fooling around with compromise, knowing better, using the excuse, well, I don't feel so bad. Well, it doesn't matter about feeling, it's a matter about knowing. We can go on and do what we want to do and override the Word of God if we choose to and not feel bad about it. We can. Some of us here have tried it. We've overridden and we've gone on. And we've convinced ourselves, I don't feel so bad. Surely it wasn't wrong then. It's not a matter of feeling bad about it. It's a matter of knowing what God said and understanding that God meant what he said and living within the boundaries of that. And if I don't, then when the truth of God's word is preached at some other point, my soil has become crusted and it's not going to receive the seed. Or there's going to be vines that spring up from whatever that is that has been allowed to creep in and destroy or choke out the seed when it sprouts. That wild morning glory that grows around here. Do you have it in your garden? It grows in mine. Oh, it's beautiful flower in the morning. But boy, it can really choke some stuff out. Gets all wound up in the beans or gets all wound up in the corn. Beautiful when that flower blooms first thing in the morning. Ugly later on. Chokes out the word. But he that received the seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If we're going to see a real revival, we're going to have a receptive hearing. We're going to have a good soil. Number four feeds off of number three. And in number four, we see it's a willingness to act on the light of the word that the Spirit gives. Receptivity and acceptance to act on. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Allowing that word that we have heard permeate us or find lodging within us so that then we can go out and act on what we have heard and received and believed and the Holy Spirit moving upon us so that we can grow and produce. Finally, an earnest or an essential to a real revival is that of earnest, believing, prevailing prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've heard that portion of the scripture many times. James 5, verse 16. B, I guess you could say, if you wanted to, you could probably break it down three different things and call it C. But the last part of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praying. That would take us back up to the first one, the presence, the powerful presence and the help, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man seeking God and praying, longing for his presence and his anointing. Taking on the burden of lost humanity. Seeking God's presence and seeking God's heart. Number one, the powerful presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The fearful yet respectful preaching of the Bible truth. Number three, a receptive hearing on the part of the people. The soil of our soul being receptive to that seed. A willingness to act on the light of the word that the Spirit gives us. Earnest, believing, prevailing prayer. I want to see revival. I want to feel revival. I want to experience revival. I want to mark it down in my memory once again of a meeting, of a revival service that is marked down as a revival worth talking about and remembering. One where we have really, truly felt a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One that'll grip the heart of our young people and our children so that they too can say, we had a revival. We had a move of the Holy Spirit in revival. Let's seek him. Let's ask him to come. Let's stand together tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would take these points and reiterate them to us repeatedly through this week. Help us to look at our soil so that when the evangelist begins to preach God's word, we can receive it willingly, gladly, into good soil. Praise God. Trust the Lord to give you a good week, and see you again on Wednesday for the beginning of revival meeting, asking the Lord for his touch and for his help. Praise God. Praise God. Vaughn, would you dismiss us tonight?